from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067. Tag get to us here on this Saturday afternoon. Coming up, Nats and the Brewers. Game 2 of the series. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler standing by. Beautiful ballpark in Milwaukee. Did a series out there with Charlie. And love the place. Fantastic. Charlie and Dave coming up 3:40 this afternoon. Let's get back to the phones. 1-800-636-1067. Greg's in Rockville. Greg, you're up next on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Hey, Pete. How's it going?
Going well. Appreciate you. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say I appreciate everything you're saying. Real quick, as a Wizards and MD fan, it's all about getting back to defense, getting back to basics. No more prima donnas. You know, I'm tired of the Gilberts. I'm tired of the John Walls. I just want to see good team basketball. But I'll take it off air. But that's just my thought. Just get back to basics. Make a defensive team. Make an effort. Get some dogs. And let the pack hunt. And, you know, we'll get some wins. But appreciate everything you're doing. Thanks.
Greg, appreciate it. Look, there's no question. You want guys that are going to be hungry. You know, guys that want to play basketball at a high level, play successful team basketball. You saw the basketball IQ of Sarr and Carrington in crunch time last night, fourth quarter. Team had fallen behind. They put Carrington back in and said, "Let's go, young fella. Take us where we got to go." He drove the car. He got the car where it needed to go successfully, parked it well, not a scratch on it at the end of the game, and they end up winning that game. Sarr showed you defensive instincts, defensive ability. You know, guy that might actually be able to be a rim deterrent in some pick and roll actions. Guy that can move for a big man. He's dribbling the ball up the floor at 7 foot, right down the middle of the floor, showing you the fundamental skills that you're looking for in a young player. Loved it. It's easy to watch. It's pleasant on the eyes. Basketball IQ, good decision making, but players that made winning plays at winning time. That's the key. Players that made winning decisions and winning plays at winning time. That's been a missing ingredient here for a long time. No doubt about it. And I think he was right. When he called in, he's like, you know, the Terps and Wiz have lost a little bit of identity in basketball. And they got to get back to that. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Ronald in Greenbelt. What's up, Ronald?
Hey, BDP, long time. How you been?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I like the nucleus of this team and the makeup. They're young. The only thing they might have going against them, inexperience in key positions. I think they need to bring Tyus Jones. They can't get a quality point guard because Corey Kispert was in the top 10, I think, in three-point percentages. So they got the spot-up shooter that probably can make the threes. And if they get a quality veteran, I think, and good coaching all around, I think this team got potential to knock on that door.
Yeah.
Teams next year.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate the call, Ronald. Turn signal off. Look, coaching has been an issue. We all thought Wes Jr. was going to be able to thrive here. The stories out of Denver, remarkable about how great of an assistant coach he was. For whatever reason, it just didn't work here. Whether it was the talent level, and I think we could argue that, certainly could argue that, but it just didn't happen here. Now we'll see what happens changing again, you know. But the worst thing you can do is sit there and ram your head into a wall and keep doing the same things over and over again when you're not winning games. You know, legacy is great. Except when legacy doesn't win. Ultimately, this pro sports is about meritocracy, man. It's about winning. Great coaches that I worked with over at Navy for years, going all the way back to, to Paul Johnson in the early days of the triple option. You know, when he's talking about, you know, if you're recruiting, if you're not being told no by some players, it means you're not recruiting the right people. You're not recruiting people that other teams are recruiting and want to be on their team. That's a key ingredient. You're getting players that other people sought after. Now, can your coaching staff turn them into a cohesive unit and teach them how to play the game at the professional level? Because, as I said, you got to play much harder against pros. These are not just any Joes. These are pros. These are guys that are hunting for that long term, that second deal themselves, or even that third deal that give you the life-changing. You become a corporation at that point. That's the beauty of the National Basketball Association. And I know the ratings tell us many of you have turned it off, yet the money continues to go up and up. But in some cities, you turn it off because the product's no good. I completely get that. I think ownerships understand that. General managers understand that. But right now, you know, ultimately, this is another rebuild here. It's something they were not willing to do. You know, the previous management kept putting, it's just like when you have, you know, you got to get a tire plug, you know, go see my guy, Jeff McDowell, and let him plug your tire and stuff like that. And you keep plugging a tire. Eventually, you got to get a new one. Well, at some point in this case, at some point, you know, management, ownership, all have to agree. Total rebuilds suck. Philadelphia is an intense sports city as there is in this country. And some of those years with the Sixers were just brutal. Just brutal. That's a fan base that wants to be in a building every night, that wants to be loud, wants to be proud, and they knew they weren't any good. They were told they weren't going to be any good, and they weren't. And they built it, they scrapped it, blew it up, and tried to build it back up. They're sort of in there. They're at least a playoff team now. They're a team when healthy that, you know, can be right there. They can challenge Indiana. They can challenge Boston. Yeah, stay healthy, though. Unfortunately, the most important guy can't stay healthy. By the end of the year, he's like 85, 90%. He gives you 100% effort, but he's only physically 85 or 90%. That's a problem. That's a problem, unfortunately. You know, you're hoping now that you've done this total rebuild, and you're hoping 3 or 4 years from now, you're hoping that Carrington and Saar are part of your core, that the league is going, look at that guy. Look at this guy. Because if that's the case, then yeah, what this front office is doing right now with this rebuild is sending it ultimately in the right direction. I love, just like, you know, Ronald talked about, I love Tyus Jones. Unfortunately, some other people are going to want Tyus Jones. But that's a good sign. That means you had players that other people actually want. That's a good sign to me. Because there was a time where there were players playing here that nobody wanted a piece of. And the criticism of the roster was valid, you know, at that point. So we'll see ultimately where we get in terms of that. And again, last night, you have to be very cautious. Okay, you have to be very cautious with last night. There's a lot to like about what you saw. Ultimately, when October and November show up, does it translate to W's in the building? But I can say this, I'll tell you what, half of Baltimore City's probably coming down here to watch Bub play. And Saar giving you every, you know, every good feeling about being a number two pick. He looked the part last night. You know, there was the talk about him and Risha Shea and all that other stuff. I thought both guys looked really good. And we don't value here, because we don't see it, we don't value the quality that you see what these guys are playing against overseas. You know, shout out to my guy Brandon Horvath. Used to train right in my pool back here with my son, a great coach. Used to bring him here. He's now playing in Germany. I mean, it's that competition is good. I mean, Risha Shea, 16 years old. He's playing against grown men in places, you know. And he was thriving. He was having success. I don't think we can't value that because we don't see it. So it's hard to put a qualifier on just how good those guys are. But I think you saw in tasty morsels of it last night in the same game against each other just how good that can potentially be. It's going to take time, though. Can they win 20 games this year? 22? Would that, I mean, the problem is, if you're trying to get the lottery balls for Cooper Flagg, then ultimately, you know, winning 22, 30 games probably not, you know, conducive to that. But if you're trying to get your fans excited about buying tickets, if you're trying to get free agents excited about a city to come play in and play in with this good young core with a fabulous big man, a terrific combo guard, and some other pieces going forward, then by all means, you got to go try and win some basketball games. You got to go try and win some basketball games and get it turned around. And that's ultimately, you know, for Ted Leonsis and Monumental Sports, for them to be able to put more money into the franchise got to win more because they need more of you in the seats. They need more of you, you know, buying concession down there. They need you in the building. You can't just sit at home and watch it on TV because you're not really helping them a whole lot. Getting people to come down to the arena and watch the game is ultimately what's going to help you make money for the franchise and afford free agents, because look at the astronomical money that's out there in the NBA right now. I was talking to somebody the other day. We're talking about how the mediocre dude is getting more money ultimately than even better than average players in the National Football League. And we talk about how football is king and how much money the TV rights go for and things of that nature. And I understand football, what makes it so exclusive is it's only as of right now, 17-week regular season plus, you know, tremendous 3 or 4 weeks of playoff action. But that's all it is. In the NBA, most of that money comes for the playoffs. Over 700, the playoff TV contracts just on that part alone are over $700 million, which is why during COVID it was so important for the league to somehow find a way for people to get on the court and play playoff games, albeit in one of the strangest environments we've ever seen. And yet you had players that were so selfish that they couldn't keep themselves isolated and were getting kicked out of the bubble and things of that nature. But ultimately, that's how important that money is to each team and that league, and why that league projects the salaries to its players that they do. It's fascinating how much money the league gets. And certainly there are a lot of people, certainly within the football realm, it's a constant topic of why there's just so much money there, and the NFL players play such a violent game, albeit, again, you know, much shorter, compact schedule, of why they don't necessarily make the same amount of cash, even though right now if you're a quarterback or wide receiver, you're making that cash in the National Football League. But that's a very small group of people that are making those types of dollars. So ultimately, in the end, you can see why so many guys, so many great athletes are heading toward basketball, because they know if they can actually make it, there's monopoly money to be made for you and your family out there here at some point. I think it's a fascinating start, though, to this summer league. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you watch the next game and the next game, and it's going to make you watch these summer activities that you might not normally pay attention to the Wizards in the past like you have. Now you're going to pay a lot more attention to this just because of that opening act. And it's just like going to a play and you see the opening act. You're like, man, this is really good. I can't wait to see what's left of this thing. When you go to a movie, you see a great first movie, and then you're excited about the sequel and what could come in that series, just like we see with all the Marvel movies and everything like that. Yet you get, you know, movies like Coming to America 2, Dumb and Dumber Again, that nowhere near as good as the first ones were. You cannot, I don't care how good, Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall were so good in Coming to America. I don't care who you have, you cannot replicate what occurred in Coming to America. It cannot be replicated. Cannot. The great John Amos, the beautiful Sherry Healy, my man Bookman from Good Times, all in that movie. You can't replicate it. You can't. They tried. It was not good. Not good at all. Sometimes it's just better to leave the original as the original. And let's hope at some point, you know, these sequels for the Wizards in the Summer League are as good as the opening act was last night. 1-800-636-1067 with you to 340. Nats and Brewers at that time right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
800-636-1067. No Heston Kjerstad for the Orioles in their lineup today after getting struck in the head last night. Nationals and the Brewers coming up here. About 20 minutes away from sending you to Milwaukee for Charlie and Dave and their live coverage here this afternoon. And that's on deck right here on your home for Washington Nationals baseball. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Cardinals, who've played, I mean, just dog doo-doo bad the first 2 months. They have really played so well. You saw them come through town last week. They're leading the Cubs 10-1 right now, top of the fourth. Pittsburgh leading the White Sox 1-0. Dodgers in Detroit leading by a count of 8-4. This game coming up today at 4:10 this afternoon in Milwaukee. And for the Nationals this afternoon, Mitchell Parker on the bump. He's 5-5. Going up against the veteran, Dallas Keuchel's made it back to the big leagues. And he will face C.J. Abrams, Lane Thomas, and Juan Yepes. Now, in the number three spot, James Wood hits cleanup today for the Nationals. Harold Ramirez will be the DH this afternoon. Ildemar Vargas will play second base. Riley Adams does the catching. Trey Lipscomb had a solid outing last night. Started a critical double play with a great fundamental play. Squared up to a hard hit ball at third base. He will bat eighth, and Jacob Young will bat ninth for the Nationals this afternoon in this ball game against the veteran Dallas Keuchel. And, you know, look, Trey Lipscomb knows now for the rest of this season, this is your live audition to be the, you know, an everyday player somehow in this lineup. And knowing that Brady House is creeping closer and closer to the neighborhood, Lipscomb is a guy that can also play second base as well for you. You know C.J. Abrams is going to be the shortstop. I think that's pretty safe to say that he's going to be the shortstop for several years to come here with his team. So if you're Lipscomb, this is an opportunity either for this team or other scouts that are watching right now. This is the organization that's giving you a chance right now to be an everyday big leaguer. And the question is, can he ultimately consistently play at this level? Can you get more nights like last night from Trey Lipscomb? Riley Adams is another good topic. This is a guy that was sent down to the minor leagues because, you're playing one day a week usually in relief of, you know, K-Bear Ruiz, sometimes two if you're lucky. And they basically sent him down to get some work. They said, hey, we need you to be a pro about this. And he did. He went down there, 96 at-bats, really got things going. And, you know, comes back up and had a good first game even when he returned to the lineup. The question ultimately is, can he do it a little more consistently for this team? But he gets the opportunity at catcher today. And it was good to see him go down treat it like a pro, and get the work done. And then, of course, as we talked about earlier with Steve Lennox on the show back in the 11 o'clock hour, if you want to go back on the Odyssey app and hit rewind and listen to our conversation there, you know, James comes from an amazing family. Dad was super, super athlete, good high school baseball player, obviously a great college basketball player. And, you know, James is like, you know, he's kind of like the Alex Saar, you know, now this Nationals team. He's like the Bub Carrington. He's the guy that you're building the next, hopefully, 8 to 10 years of success around. You know, you've got that part in the lineup. You've got C.J. Abrams in the lineup. Ultimately, right now, when you look at the rest of this group, who else is potentially part of that core going forward? And there's opportunity here right now. The question is, who seizes it and who doesn't? You know, I mean, you know, Yepez getting an opportunity here, second time around in the big leagues for him. You know, not here, obviously, with Washington, but obviously he'd been in the big leagues before. But, you know, who's part of that core going forward? Does Lipscomb play good enough that, you know, do you move Garcia at some point? Somebody's going to see value in Luis Garcia as a left-handed bat, and maybe they make you an offer. Even if it's not this year, it could be next. Could be in the offseason. Does Lipscomb go to second base and then Brady House eventually become your third baseman? We know in the outfield, Cruz is coming at some point to be a part of the outfield. The way Young has played defensively, though, Jacob is making making it very tough on the organization, which is what you want. You want a guy that competes. Jacob Young knows the outfielders that are in the system. He knows the guy playing over in left could easily come over and play in center. He knows the guy that's at Rochester could easily come up and play in center. But Jacob Young's playing such a good center field from a glove standpoint. Ultimately, is he going to hit enough to stay here? You know, I mean, you had a guy like, I mean, even for a while there last year with Alex Call running around center field, he's making some fine plays. Victor Robles goes out there and makes solid defensive work for the most part. But nobody's been able to hit. You know, Victor couldn't hit. Call couldn't hit at this level consistently enough. And when you look, I mean, obviously they're hoping at some point, whether it's Hassel or somebody else, also, you know, but Hassel's just too many injuries. He just can't stay healthy. There's pitching down there that, you know, looks reasonably decent. Philip Glasser's another position player that has played well and has certainly opened some eyes for those of you that follow the minor league system. So there is some talent in the pipeline. Obviously, you know, Mike and his staff are going to have a chance to maybe add more here at the trade deadline. So ultimately right now, you got certainly 2/9 of your core going forward in Wood and Abrams. You know, who else in this group or even on this roster, Ruiz, because of the 7-year deal that he's on right now, probably has, you know, every opportunity certainly to be the core catcher going forward and you know, maybe some part-time DH as well for him. But ultimately, this core is still, I think, still to be put together. And you're hoping that Cruz and you're hoping that House, you know, even if those two guys, in my opinion, have got to hit the jackpot for you. They have got to be better than average players. They can't come up here and be 230, you know, 10 home runs, you know, type guys. They've got to hit. They've got to be able to be jackpot players for you if you're going to compete in the division that you're in right now with Philadelphia and Atlanta, certainly in position to be good for a while. Atlanta's still very young. Very young core, very young club. The problem for them is health. Coming back from Tommy John. So two core pieces of their long-term success, not even part of it right now. They're kind of hanging on now a little bit by a thread. They haven't been able to win as consistently, obviously, when you don't have your best pitching and your best player available out there. So you look at, which is, since we're talking about how far away that Wizards core is the core pieces are starting to come into vision for the Nationals. The question is, who's going to take advantage of opportunity? Because that's exactly what this is right now for either guys at this level or guys at the minor league level. If you're a Nats player in the minor leagues right now, you have to feel that there is open opportunity for you going forward within this organization, that if you're a productive player and you get the work done at that level, there may be opportunity for you here on the big league level. If you hit, they will find a place for you. That's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you hit the baseball, they will find a place for you. And for House, that might even be over at first base eventually before it's all over. You never know. So that's, to me, the key going forward, as you're going to see Cruz and House involved in these futures game activities here over the weekend, and then the draft, which obviously happens tomorrow for Washington as well. You know, Mike and company, if they add a college piece, that's a guy that's a lot closer to being a big leaguer than an 18-year-old high schooler. So, you know, we'll see which direction they choose to go to coming up in the draft. And, you know, talking to some scouts that came through Bowie over the last couple of weeks, you know, the college player, so much more prepared and ready to participate when he gets to the minor leagues now, and that track can be much faster for them to get to the big leagues if you're playing. And I know the Nats have been kind of, quote, identified in that same area where they could get the kid from Wake Forest. That'd be a pretty solid selection if that's indeed the route that they choose to go. But they are still in just acquire as much talent as you can mode right now, because ultimately you want to be good for 10 years, not just 1 year. You don't want to be a fly in the ointment. You want to be good for a while. And acquiring as much talent as you can is the key to that. And certainly coming up at the trade deadline, there's going to be opportunity there. Coming up, a D.C. Hall of Famer next Sunday. We'll talk about him and the direct influence he has on me talking to you today. We'll do that next right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Making way for Nationals baseball coming up here in about 5 minutes. A couple of quick hitters on the way out here. Good luck to Eric Good of Davidsonville. Steve Head of Edgewater. Those two have a horse. Each have a horse going for $700,000 tonight. The Meadowlands Pace. Eric Good's legendary Hanover, a winner of an elimination last week. And Captain Luke going to have an opportunity to pick up, I think, part of the pie tonight. That'll be a 10:45 start for the Meadowlands Pace. Also, Graham Gray Stables over there in Virginia. They've got Call Me Goo going for big cash tonight. Caviar Bell from the Caviar Stables as well from over in Vienna. Good luck to all of them. Part of a huge card at the Meadowlands coming up tonight. Pretty emotional topic for me, because talking about Dave Johnson is a pretty emotional thing for me. I've been very lucky to be in this business for a long time. I turned 54 in January. I got my start in this business at the age of 17. Dave Johnson at WNAV Radio, Brett Friedlander at the Capital Newspaper, he now works down in North Carolina. They got me working in this business when I was 17, right out of high school. I graduated a year earlier than I should because I skipped first grade. And probably didn't make the best overall decision by, you know, just working in the business from the time I was 17. But you know what? For a 17-year-old kid, the money was great as a stringer. I was working 40 hours a week at the paper and helping Dave and Joe Cohen with high school football on Friday nights. And Dave allowed me to do my own high school sports show at WNAB every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. But the only thing I ever wanted to do in my life was be a sports broadcaster. And Dave Johnson gave me that opportunity. I'm not sure that opportunity would have come, being raised by my grandparents who came over here from England and Ireland respectively after World War II. My grandfather fought for England in World War II. They both worked incredibly hard. My dad worked in the distilled beverage industry, helping set up liquor stores all over the nation's capital. My grandmother worked at Safeway Bakery for over 25 years. And this 17-year-old kid who was raised in a trailer park and, you know, given this opportunity by Dave Johnson at 17 to do what I wanted to do what I loved, to emulate the work ethic that Dave Johnson has for an amazing amount of years here in the D.C. area. He would do a night game. He'd be at WTOP at 5 in the morning to do the sportscast the very next day. Whether it was being in a hotel in L.A. at 2 a.m. when the Wizards were on the road and getting up and using the lobby so he had a Ethernet line for his equipment, because it meant that much to him to be on the air so he could do his job, because it being the lead sportscaster at WTOP meant that much to him. Being the voice of the Wizards meant that much to him. Being literally the identity of DC United for literally its entire existence here means and has meant that much to him. And of course now, you know, he fights disease each and every day and does not let that affect his work one way or another. He is a warrior from that standpoint. He is a tremendous individual. He has never changed, despite all the success and the things and the identity that comes with being the voice of the Wizards and DC United and things of that nature, and being a longtime sports anchor in this city. I will be forever indebted to Dave Johnson for what I have, and I am so excited he is going to be inducted next Sunday into the DC Hall of Fame at Nationals Park. That'll do it for us today. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, they're going to be Hall of Famers one day as well. They're coming up next. It's the Nats and Brewers right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Making way for Nationals baseball coming up here in about 5 minutes. A couple of quick hitters on the way out here. Good luck to Eric Good of Davidsonville, Steve Head of Edgewater. Those two have a horse, each have a horse going for $700,000 tonight, the Meadowlands Pace. Eric Good's legendary Hanover, a winner of an elimination last week. And Captain Luke going to have an opportunity to pick up, I think, part of the pie tonight. That'll be a 10:45 start for the Meadowlands Pace. Also, Graham Gray Stables over there in Virginia. They've got Call Me Goo going for big cash tonight. Caviar Bell from the Caviar Stables as well from over in Vienna. Good luck to all of them. Part of a huge card at the Meadowlands coming up tonight. Pretty emotional topic for me, because talking about Dave Johnson is a pretty emotional thing for me. I've been very lucky to be in this business for a long time. I turned 54 in January. I got my start in this business at the age of 17. Dave Johnson at WNAV Radio, Brett Friedlander at the Capital Newspaper, he now works down in North Carolina. They got me working in this business when I was 17, right out of high school. I graduated a year earlier than I should because I skipped first grade. And probably didn't make the best overall decision by, you know, just working in the business from the time I was 17. But you know what? For a 17-year-old kid, the money was great as a stringer. I was working 40 hours a week at the paper and helping Dave and Joe Cohen with high school football on Friday nights. And Dave allowed me to do my own high school sports show at WNAV every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. But the only thing I ever wanted to do in my life was be a sports broadcaster. And Dave Johnson gave me that opportunity. I'm not sure that opportunity would have come, you know, being raised by my grandparents who came over here from England and Ireland, respectively, after World War II. My grandfather fought for England in World War II. They both worked incredibly hard. My dad worked in the distilled beverage industry, helping set up liquor stores all over the nation's capital. My grandmother worked at, you know, Safeway Bakery for over 25 years. And this 17-year-old kid who was raised in a trailer park and, you know, given this opportunity by Dave Johnson at 17 to do what I wanted to do what I loved, to emulate the work ethic that Dave Johnson has for an amazing amount of years here in the D.C. area. He would do a night game. He'd be at WTOP at 5 in the morning to do the sportscast the very next day. Whether it was being in a hotel in L.A. at 2 a.m. when the Wizards were on the road and getting up and using the lobby so he had a Ethernet line for his equipment, because it meant that much to him to be on the air so he could do his job, because it being the lead sportscaster at WTOP meant that much to him. Being the voice of the Wizards meant that much to him. Being literally the identity of DC United for literally its entire existence here means and has meant that much to him. And, of course, now, you know, he fights disease each and every day and does not let that affect his work one way or another. He is a warrior from that standpoint. He is a tremendous individual. He has never changed, despite all the success and the things and the identity that comes with being the voice of the Wizards and DC United and things of that nature, and being a longtime sports anchor in this city. I will be forever indebted to Dave Johnson for what I have, and I am so excited he is going to be inducted next Sunday into the DC Hall of Fame at Nationals Park. That'll do it for us today. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler, they're going to be Hall of Famers one day as well. They're coming up next. It's the Nats and Brewers right here on 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.